You know, the things we buy are usually not evil. But when we are working many hours to buy things or to try to buy things we really don't need, we're pursuing extravagance. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is not about how much money we have. There are wealthy people that don't live extravagantly. And there are poor people who try to live extravagantly. Mm-hmm. We find balance when we stand on God's word, like Hebrews 13:5 that says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have."
Is it a sin to be rich? Is it more biblical to be rich or poor? Is it better to get along with very little or have a lot of money and not have any needs? These are some challenging questions. Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. In this current series, we've discussed the importance of contentment and living within our means. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on biblical money handling by looking at the biblical perspective of rich versus poor and what biblical prosperity is. We'll be right back with Champions Arise.
Some say becoming a man is as simple as reaching a certain age. But at Champions Arise, we don't define manhood by a date on the calendar, but instead by one's personal choices of character and valor. Discover with us how to stand firm in the battle of life and allow Christ Jesus, the supreme model of manhood, to determine your motives and actions. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org.
Kent, I'm glad we're talking about a balanced perspective with money handling because I believe there are a lot of misconceptions out there.
Yeah, I agree. So I want to start today's conversation off by looking at two stories from the Bible. The first one is from Mark 12, verses 41 through 43. It says, "One day, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions.'"
That's the story of the widow's mite, right? She had almost nothing, and what little she had, she gave to God.
That's right, yeah. Now, the second story is from Luke 19 and describes Zacchaeus meeting Jesus. It starts, "Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. 'Zacchaeus,' he said, 'quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today.' Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. 'He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner,' they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.' Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham.'"
Okay, so in the first story, we had a very poor woman. Mm-hmm. And in the last story, we see somebody who is very rich.
Very rich. You know, really someone who was at the opposite end of the financial spectrum from
Absolutely.
The widow.
Yeah.
But look at what Jesus says regarding these two. About the widow, who was very poor, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions."
Mm.
And about Zacchaeus, who was very rich, Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." So, was the widow or Zacchaeus more biblical in the eyes of Jesus?
I would say both. It sounds like he complimented them both.
Yeah, he did. And my point is, a balanced perspective isn't about how much money you have. It's about how much love for God you have in your heart. So we're going to look at eight things we can do to have a balanced financial life, a life of biblical prosperity, if you will, regardless of how much money you have. Now think of these eight steps as eight spokes in a wheel.
Okay.
You know, when they're all present, they keep our financial wheel strong and balanced. So let's get started. Our first spoke for a balanced financial life is don't live extravagantly. Proverbs 21, verse 17 applies to this. Foster, can you read that for us, please?
Sure. But first, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm speaking with Kent Darcy. Today's topic is how to live a balanced financial life. Okay, Kent, our first spoke is don't live extravagantly. And Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich.
Great. The key word is love. Whoever loves pleasure. It's similar to 1 Timothy 6, where it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Uh-huh.
The verse says the love of money is the problem. And I think the same principle is in effect when we talk about not living extravagantly. You know, the things we buy are usually not evil. But when we are working many hours to buy things or to try to buy things we really don't need, we're pursuing extravagance.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is not about how much money we have. There are wealthy people that don't live extravagantly. And there are poor people who try to live extravagantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we find balance when we stand on God's word, like Hebrews 13:5 that says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have.
So the first spoke in this financial wheel analogy is don't live extravagantly.
Yeah.
So what's the second spoke for living a balanced financial life?
Well, the second spoke is to avoid debt. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor and a borrower is slave to the lender. Overspending and acquiring debt is a major obstacle to having a balanced financial life. In our last program, we spoke about this in detail, so I encourage our men to listen to that program.
I agree. It was called Living on Less Than You Earn, and you can hear it at our website, championsarise.org. Okay, Kent, what's the third spoke?
Well, our third spoke for living a balanced financial life is manage your assets well. Proverbs 27:23 says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. In our last program, we talked about having a financial plan. That plan would include a list of the assets you have, because most people don't know the value of everything they have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another aspect to managing our assets that's important. They aren't our assets.
Mm.
We are stewards of God's assets, and God expects us to manage them well. We see this clearly in Matthew chapter 25. In a parable Jesus told, there was a man who entrusted his slaves with his possessions before he went on a journey. Before he left, he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, and 1 to a third slave, each according to their skill level. After a long time, the master came back and settled accounts with them. The slave who had received 5 talents had traded and gained 5 more. The slave who had 2 talents had traded and acquired 2 more. But the one who received only 1 talent had hidden his talent in the ground. He returned it and made excuses for not doing more. His master scolded him and said, you wicked, lazy slave. You should have at least put my money in the bank so I could get my money back with interest. Now, we see in this parable, it's not the amount that's important. It's our heart towards God.
That's so true. You know, when I think of some of the couples I know that have a balanced financial life, some have had a lot of money and others didn't have that much at all.
Mm.
But they both honored God with their finances.
Yeah, and my guess is they were content.
Oh, yes, very much so, yeah. They were probably the most content people you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they were basically applying these 8 principles.
And that would be my guess, too. Amazing people as I think about them. But let's move on to the fourth spoke in our financial wheel analogy.
The fourth spoke for a balanced financial life is to be diversified. Applicable verses to this can be found in Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 2 says, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land.
Hmm.
And verse 6 says, sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. I would encourage our listeners to speak to a financial specialist at your church or at a credible Christian organization to find out what financial diversification looks like in your situation. But also keep in mind that diversification doesn't just apply to money. The Bible speaks about the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and whatever he does prospers. So in your quiet times with God, pray about how he would have you spend your time and your efforts.
So that's number 4 of our 8 spokes for a balanced financial life.
Uh-huh.
And the first is don't live extravagantly. The second is avoid debt. The third spoke is manage your assets. The fourth is be diversified. And the 5th spoke is
No drum roll?
Sorry, not in the budget.
Bummer. You know, actually, I like that. You know, no extravagance. Very good. Anyway, the fifth spoke for a balanced financial life is to stay out of sinful behavior. Now, Proverbs 23, verse 20 and 21 says, "Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." We shouldn't be spending the money God has blessed us with on drinking too much, pornography, drugs, gambling, or even on a hobby if we're spending excessively on it. The visible consequences we see from these sins are financial problems. The consequences we don't see are men with a ruined character, no integrity, having hurting spouses and families. You know, neither of these are in the will of God.
And the sixth spoke is?
The sixth spoke in a balanced financial life is to work hard. Proverbs 14:23 says, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." The Bible also says, "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God."
I think that spoke is pretty self-explanatory. So what is the seventh spoke?
The seventh spoke for a balanced financial life is to plan well. Proverbs 14:8 says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways." In addition to our overall financial plan, we need to think before we spend. If being impulsive is a problem, leave your credit cards home. You know, just bring enough money for what is on the list of items you and your wife agree on. You know, it sounds hard, but it takes discipline, sacrifice, and hard work to achieve a balanced financial life.
And that balanced financial life is very important for our eighth spoke, right?
Yes, it is. Because our last spoke is to give generously. Mm-hmm. This is the fun one. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." Mm-hmm. You know, when our finances are balanced in a biblical way, we have the privilege and the great joy of blessing and supporting others. But we can't do that if we're overspent and deep in debt.
Generous giving is so much better than debt.
Amen.
So, okay, let's do a review of where we've been today.
Okay, sure. Today, we discussed how, from God's perspective, it's not the amount of money you have that's important, but how you handle it. And we used the illustration of spokes in a wheel to cover eight things, spokes, if you will, that are necessary for a balanced financial life. And those eight were: don't live extravagantly, avoid debt, manage your assets well, be diversified, stay out of sinful behavior, work hard, plan well, and give generously. Together, these combine to make a strong and balanced financial life. They may not be easy, but with the help you'll receive in your daily quiet times and with the accountability of other Christian men, you'll find with God, all things are possible.
And that's good news. Kent, I'm excited because I believe men are going to do these steps, and we're going to see the chains of debt and arguing about money fall away.
That would be fantastic.
Yes, certainly would. We'll be right back.
Here's Champions Arise founder, Edmund Speaker.
I believe that each man has responsibility to be the defender of true values in his home and society. We men have the potential to either build up or tear down. That is why our leadership needs to be modeled by the one who is a perfect model of manhood. At Champions Arise, we call men to become disciples of Jesus Christ.
You can learn more about becoming a disciple of Jesus when you go to championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today, we reviewed steps for living a balanced financial life. This program is based on lesson number 3 in the book Every Man a Warrior, Volume 3 by Lonnie Berger. You can find more information about his book and re-listen to this program at our website, championsarise.org. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man he knows you can be.